Look, if you will, in the Bible to Luke, the 16th chapter. Luke chapter 16. I want to talk about this morning a message from the grave. I preached on this passage of Scripture many times, heard it many times, preached on. You know, a message from the grave. What would they say if you got a message from the grave? Well, you know, I've heard of people about people getting hurt, seeing a light, get a message in their heart from what they believe was heaven. But I've never heard anyone say they died and they woke up in hell and they came back. They've always gone to heaven. Well, they got a message to us, but I want to talk about a message from hell today, or a message from the grave. Starting with verse 19 of Luke chapter 16, we find this parable. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was buried. Isn't that something? The beggar died. Later, it was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed. Did I read that? I lost my place there. Okay, verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one of them rose from the dead. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you. Lord, I don't have the ability to bring out what you'd have us to see this morning. So, Lord, I want to confess right now that I just have to rely upon the Holy Spirit of God to touch our hearts through this word. And God, received this message from the grave, that if there's one lost person, just one this morning, that's not sure of their salvation, that they don't know where they're going when they die, Lord, that they might by faith simply trust you this morning as Lord and Savior, and we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I said, starting out, a parable. This is not a parable. This is a story about that Jesus told. I believe it's a man that actually died and went to hell, and he didn't give his name. He just said a rich man, because I don't know why, maybe the family left or whatever, but he didn't say the name of the rich man. It's also a story of a poor man. named Lazarus. It's a story where we find that, you know, hell is it's no joke. Hell's no joke. We find that also there's no return from this place called hell. And the only way that we can miss hell and receive heaven is through repentance and faith towards our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, look at the word. There was a certain rich man. The Greek word says sumptuously here. It means flamboyantly. He had everything. I can see it now. All the food laid out there anytime he wanted it. Man, he could have a T-bone steak. Anytime he wanted, he could have a ribeye or a good old barbecue. Anything that this rich man wanted, the Bible says he had it. I believe he probably wore the finest lizard skin boots or Dillard's slacks. Went to wear it the other day, Dillard's. Whew, man, let me tell you something. They think a lot for a pair of pants. He had all of that. Anything he wanted, the Bible says he fared sumptuously. No worry about cost of clothing. No worry about the daily things that he was going to do or the entertainment of friends. He had the finest of all. This rich man. In contrast to the rich man, the Bible says there was a beggar. His name is Lazarus. And the Bible says he lived in poverty. You see? The Bible also said he would have been happy to have fed himself from the scraps of this rich man's table. You see, it wouldn't have took much to satisfy him, would it? If I could just get to the rich man's house and if I can just eat the scraps from his table, then Lazarus would have been happy. Now, some people are not happy no matter what they have in life. They just don't have that happiness in them. They try to be satisfied with the world, but, you know, the entertainment, the faring sumptuously every day, the fine linens that he had and the clothes, that didn't bring him happiness. And he probably had more and more and more brought in because he just couldn't find happiness in all the entertainment of life. Yet to Lazarus, he would have just been happy if he could have filled himself with the crumbs of the rich man's table. You see, he had a desire to be fed. He didn't eat the crumbs, but he said, I know that if I could just have some of the crumbs from this rich man's table, he desired to be fed with them. Oh, isn't that something? A man that's just doesn't have anything would just try to eat the crumbs from this rich man's table. The beggar, Lazarus, the Bible says, he died. Now, folks, let me tell you something. That's a reality there. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. You're going to die. If you live long enough, if the Lord don't come back, you're going to die. We can spend money to try to, you know, improve our lives and our health, but sooner or later, this body wears out, doesn't it? Everyone in here, if the Lord doesn't come back and rapture us out, you're going to die. That's a reality. You better be ready to face death, the Bible says. There's no mention of a funeral for this beggar. You know, they probably, well, every day probably somebody had to bring him and lay him at the gate, the Bible says. You know, he was carried out the same way when he died. He was probably carried out to the city dumped and dumped with all the other garbage and trash. You know, nobody really mourned over him because, you know, he was such a, probably a poor person, probably ill health. The Bible says the dogs was his only friends. They licked his sores that he had on him. They were looking for something even from the beggar. And he was probably been taken out. He was such a pitiful person and burned with all the other trash. See, that's a sad condition that we see people every day that are just like this man. You know, sometimes we pass them by, like the song said. We don't want to look at their face because they're in such pitiful condition. Well, let me tell you something. The most pitiful condition is a person without Jesus Christ. And we need to look them in the face. We need to make reference to them. We need to share Jesus with them. Because they have no hope if we don't share with them. And the Bible says this poor man died and he was carried and dumped. But it also says the angels carried him to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. So we have the poor man dying. And let me tell you, you don't get to heaven because you're poor. Okay? This man had a relationship with God. You can be poor and have a relationship with God because God doesn't charge you anything. He sent his son to die for you that you could have life and have it abundantly. God wants you to come to him just like you are. Poor, without money, he says, come. If you're thirsty, come. If you're hungry, come. That's what God wants. So don't think you have to have money to get into the kingdom of God. It won't help you. All you do is like this man. You come by faith. And the Bible says the angels, they may have carried him out and dumped him in the dump, but the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. And then it says right after that, the rich man died. Now, like I said a while ago, money can't keep you alive, can it? It's not going to do you any good. You're going to die. The reality is here, every one of us die. And it says differently about him than it does the poor man. He was buried. They didn't carry the rich man out and dump him in the dump to be burned. Why? Because he was well known. He had a lot of friends down here on earth, or what we think was friends. He probably had a lot of parties. He'd probably given the church a lot of money. He'd probably given the town a lot of money. So he was well respected. I can see it now. All the flashing lights and all the line of cars or mourners, as it was in those days, riding their donkeys or walking behind the casket as they carried him out and put him in the cemetery. It was a wonderful sight. You know, I kind of like to go to those services where they have a lot of flashing lights. I think of a celebration when someone dies. My wife said, listen, I don't care what you do, but have a lot of flashing lights at my funeral. Man, I'm going to have to get every police car in the county. If y'all got any contact, if she goes before me, we got to have some flashing lights. That's a request, you know. Well, me, they just don't drop me like the poor man in the dump somewhere. But you know, with all the money and all the finery of the funeral, the Bible says he's in hell. Look at what it says. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Folks, hell is no joke. It's there. Not only, and in hell, being in torments. This man felt the pain in hell. And not only that, he seeth Abraham afar off, and he also saw Lazarus in his bosom. He saw the beggar. He said, you know, that's the old man laying out by the gate. That's the old man. The dogs licked his sores. How in the world did he get to heaven? And I'm in this place of torment. Did he have more money than he Must have had it hid. I just imagine this rich man thought, you know, something here, he must have, something fishy about this old man. How did he get into heaven and I missed it? I gave all the money to church. I was the man rich in town. He was a nobody. And I was a somebody. Well, the rich man's in hell. The rich man is in torments. The rich man feels the pain and he sees Lazarus in the bosom. Hell is no joke, folks. If the message comes from the grave today, don't go there. Don't go to hell. He lifted his eyes in a torment and he pleaded for mercy. He said, Lord, send Abraham or send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, just a drop of water, and cool my pain, my thirst. For he says, I'm tormented in this flame. Folks, I don't know what hell's like, but I believe it's hot. I believe it's like a flame. I believe you're going to burn forever and ever and ever in a place called hell. I believe it because it is no joke. Listen, this rich man was painfully alone. Have you ever been alone? Where you was all by yourself and you had no companion, no fellowship, no friendship. People all the time said, well, preacher, at least when I go to hell, I'll be there with my friends. No, you won't. All your friends will be there, but I believe you're painfully alone. I believe you're in hell and you're painful. Have you ever been on the darkest nights in torment? You're sick and you can't holler out to anybody. Nobody's around and you're sick and you're trying to overcome that pain all by yourself. Folks, it's not fun, is it? Last January, I had a gallstone. Oh, man, I was in pain. I cried out and I didn't get a doctor. I did everything. My wife, you know what? I love that girl. She was right there with me. And I know she was suffering right along with me because I was screaming to the top of my lungs. She probably got tired of that. But you know what? It was a whole lot better having her there than just being by myself. It's always good to have someone by you in times of trouble. This man didn't. This man had no one. As he lay there in torment or sit there in torment and the flames burn on him. Not only that, he could look up and see Abraham. And in his bosom there was Lazarus. Now, Lazarus had companionship, didn't he? Oh, no wonder I think heaven's going to be a beautiful place because it says we'll know as we are known and we'll know people there. I think we'll know people there in heaven, and what a beautiful place heaven must be. Oh, there's our friends that have gone on in Christ Jesus now. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you won't be there. But our friends who love Jesus Christ, man, I can tell you, I was sitting here a couple of days back just thinking about all the friends that I've made through the years at First Baptist Church in Gun Barrel City that have died and gone on. Folks, I've got a list of over probably 200 people that I preach funerals at. They're all my friends. You see? I'm going to see them there one day in heaven. We're going to have companionship there. Lazarus had companionship. All the rich man had was a burning in his life, a torment. Lazarus had water because he said, if you could let Lazarus dip his fingers, just a drop of water. There is none. He had torments in his life. And Lazarus, well, the Bible says he was comforted. Oh, he remembered his former life. Man, that would be pain too. Oh, just think of all the water I had or the champagne and everything. Lazarus, he was silent. He didn't say a word. worst of all here, it's fixed. Abraham says, no, this place is fixed. Lazarus can't come there, and you can't come here. And that word fixed, it means it's settled. It's not going to ever change, folks. If you go to hell today, it's not because God sent you there. It's because you chose to go there. This man chose to go there. Surely he had heard about Moses and the prophets, for when the Bible says here that Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, he understood who they were. But he didn't listen to them, did he? And some of you are sitting there this morning saying, well, you know, preacher, I haven't made up my mind yet. The Bible says if you don't choose Christ, you're a fool. Man, what's there to make up? You know, you're not going to live more than probably, if you're lucky, 100. I don't know if you're lucky or not. You know? But even at that, it's just a short time, isn't it? Man, I'm already 60, almost 61. And it seems like just yesterday I was swinging out of a tree, playing with my friends. I told my wife, I said, you know, we ought to plant a mimosa in our yard. Why you want a mimosa in the yard? Because my friends had one when I was a kid, and we played in that tree, daylight to dark. Swung from limb to limb, see who could fall the furthest. Knocked the breath out of us. We just had a ball. Got whoopings. All kinds of things, you know. But those things are there. Man, heaven's going to be a beautiful place. Not in hell, though. He agonized over his loved ones. You know, that would be sad, wouldn't it? To look and know that your loved ones were not saved either, and they're not going to come to heaven. They're going to go to hell because they won't listen to the prophets either. And he agonized over him and said, well, Lord, if I can't go, if I'm going to be in this place, I don't want my brothers. I've got five brothers. I don't want them to come to this awful place. Would you just send Lazarus to them? You know, they would believe. And you know, he begged for a chance. It's fixed. It's fixed. Nothing will ever change for him. He's still there today. That's sad, isn't it? What a glimpse, folks. What a glimpse of the life beyond is right here. You do not want to die and go to hell. You don't want to do that. This man would send you a message from the grave, and he has. He said, don't come here. Don't. That hell's no joke. Listen to what Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I know that God doesn't want you to perish. I know that God doesn't want you to spend an eternity there. That's why he sent his son to die for you, that you might have life, that you might enjoy life, you might have it more abundantly. You might be saved from all the consequences of sin. And, you know, the consequences of sin is death. It's separation from God. And we see that right here. God's done all he can to save us. He sent his own son to die on the cross for us that we might have life. C.S. Lewis said this about hell. There's no doctrine which I would more willingly remove from Christianity than this subject called hell. If it lay within my power, I'd remove it. But the full support of Scripture and God's own holy word himself says it's real. Folks, when people say, I don't believe there is a hell, they're laughing at the Word of God. And the Word of God is real. It's true, if they could only see, but they are choosing their own destiny. If the dead could speak, they would tell you today, don't go to hell. It's no laughing matter. You see? This man's not an unbeliever anymore. You see? He knows now there's a hell. He's in there. Someone says there's no atheist in foxholes. Well, I'll tell you, there's no atheist in hell either. But it's too late for them. You see, there's no return from hell. It's no joke, and there's no second chance. People always tell me, well, maybe God will give me a second chance. There is no second chance. That's not found in the Bible. You see, Abraham says, between us and you, there's a gulf fixed. You couldn't pass here for nothing. There's a separation. It's permanent. Death ends the opportunity for salvation. And let me tell you something. Just because you're young, I point over here because a lot of young people over here. Just because you're young doesn't mean you're going to live to 60. I was looking through my yearbook a while back, or talking about our yearbook. A lot of my friends are dead. When we went home to the reunion, I found out a lot of my friends that were good close friends died. You're so young. You see, you're not guaranteed this evening even. You're not guaranteed you'll walk out of here today. You might die just right there in your seat. I had an uncle that was a preacher. He walked out. His last sermon, he was shaking hands at the back of the old Methodist church in Troop, Texas. And as he was shaking hands, he fell over dead. Young guy. I was real young, but I still remember Brother Robert, Uncle Robert. You see, this, I believe, is a real situation, folks, and it's no laughing matter because there's no return. Somebody said, do you believe in last-minute confessions of faith? Well, let me tell you something. Several years ago now, I had a member that committed suicide. I was talking to Brother Bill this week. He committed suicide. I went and talked to him in the hospital. He said, preacher, got cancer. He said, I'm going to kill myself. And I said, don't do that. I said, you don't know Jesus Christ, do you? He says, no. I haven't accepted him as Lord and Savior yet. He was a member of the church, but he never accepted Christ. And I said, you don't want to die. There's no second chance. If you're going to trust Christ, you need to do it while you're alive. And if you'll accept Christ into your life, then your life and attitude will change, I believe, because you'll want him in your life. You'll want to live for him. He gives us that hope. Well, I don't know whether he's saved or not, but that day he said, okay. And he asked Christ to come into his life, and I talked to him a little bit, and sure enough, the doctors came in and said, you got to go. And so I left. He came home from the hospital. 2 or 3 days later, he committed suicide. I don't know if he's saved or not. I pray that he was. Was it a real conversion at the end? I don't know. Was it what got him into heaven or what it sent him to hell? You know, I'm not a judge. Only God can do that. And I asked what I preached at his service. I know he had a lot of problems. I know he had no hope. But I don't know if he's in hell or heaven today. I pray that he went to heaven. You know, Jesus, I remember, was on the cross between two thieves. One cried out for help. One laughed. One went to heaven that day to be in paradise with Jesus. The other, he's in hell today. You see, someone said only one was saved that none might despair, and one was lost that none would presume. Folks, there's no return. There's no second chance to this matter of hell. You don't want to go there. It's not a pretty place. It's for all eternity. You can't get out. You can't buy your way out. It is fixed. It's permanent. You don't want to go there. It's not a joking thing. It's real. I don't care what TV might tell you. I don't care what other people might say. The Bible says it's real. And it is no joke, and there is no return. Well, it also says the only way to get there is to repent today. Perhaps the most touching thing in this whole story is the final word from this rich man. The rich man realizing, you know, I'm going to be in torment for the rest of eternity. I can't change my fate, for it is settled, the Bible says, forever. He said, the best thing I can do is to ask you and plead, would you please send somebody to tell my brothers they need to repent? You see, the man acknowledged the necessity of repentance, but it was too late for him. It's too late for him. Repentance is more than just regret, folks. Repentance is turning your life around and turning to God. Repentance means that you're going to change your mind. Repentance means you'll change your attitude. Repentance means you'll change your behavior. Repentance means you'll have a spiritual face about and turn from evil towards God. And it's urgent. It's urgent to repent. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. You need to repent today. You know, over 60 million people die every year. You know how much that is? That's 150 people every day. 150,000 people every day. That is 6,000 every hour. Since we've been singing here, since we've been preaching here, over 6,000 people have died. When is your turn? We don't know, do we? If 6,000 every hour, it stands a pretty good chance that one of us will die before next week. And if you don't come today, it's too late. 100 people die every minute, folks. Every minute. Now, repentance is urgent, you see. It's also urgent that we tell people about Jesus Christ. You've got friends, don't you? Yeah. How many of them are lost? Think about it. How many of your friends are lost? You want them to die and go to this place for all eternity? No, you don't. How many of you got children that are lost? You don't want them to die and go there, do you? No, you don't. Well, tell them about Jesus. He's the only answer to this death problem. He said, I come that you might have life, eternal life. And I will give you that eternal life if by faith you will simply trust me. Folks, the message from the grave is, it's no joke. There's no return. And you need to repent today. Listen, a heart attack? I was on the way home the other night. There was a bad car wreck between here and Athens. And you'll start your journey into eternity. Have you made the proper preparations to go to heaven? I don't know. That's just your, between you and God. I know one thing. I have. You know, I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be perfect. And my kids and my wife know that I'm not perfect. But I'm saved. And I know I'm saved because of what Christ did on the cross. He offered me salvation. And in May the 5th, 1975, I stepped out and said, Lord, I want what you offer. I want to trust you as my Lord and Savior. And the Bible says he came into my life and he changed my life. I have a changed mind now, a changed attitude, a changed heart. And I'm going to heaven not because of what I did, but because of what Christ did over 2,000 years ago when he died on Calvary for me. Do you know that? If you don't put it off. I'm warning you. The Bible warns you. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Don't put it off. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message from the grave. And God, is it a serious message? It is no joke. Sometimes we want to laugh about it and laugh it off, but eternity is much too long to spend in a place like that. It's no laughing matter. Lord, I pray today, since we can't return in the second chance, Lord, if there's somebody here that's lost, if there's somebody here that just don't know and they want to know in their life, Lord, today may they make that a firm decision. Because the Bible says, I've written these things that you may know that you have life. And Lord, we ought to know. And if we don't know, there's something wrong. And God, I just ask you to touch our hearts. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.